Tom Karkle in the AM 1400 WRJN News Center. The AccuWeather forecast says simply today clouds and sunshine. We'll have a high near 60. Temperature-wise, we are in the low to the mid-50s all around southeast Wisconsin. A vehicle being pursued last night by Racine police crashed into a house in the 2200 block of Ashland Avenue, and nobody was seriously hurt. Reports indicate the attempted traffic stop led to that vehicle speeding up. Following the crash into the home, the driver and the occupant were both taken to Wheaton Franciscan All Saints Emergency, the former then taken off to jail. Police note there were several occupants of the home at the time, but they were also not hurt. The victims of Tuesday's traffic crash on Highway 20 near Sunny Slope Drive in Mount Pleasant identified as 71-year-old Ula Thuer, who died after being hit by the car as she and her husband, 74-year-old Otto Thuer, were crossing Washington Avenue at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Otto Thuer remains in serious condition at Frederick Hospital in Wauwatosa, being treated for head trauma. The investigation into the accident continues, though police indicate the couple was not in a crosswalk when it happened. 44-year-old driver of the car cooperating in that investigation. In Fond du Lac, the police dog that survived being shot twice during an incident 4 years ago in which Officer Craig Burkholz, a Kenosha native, lost his life, that dog has had to be put down. Officer Ryan Williams says the decision to let go of Grendel, a 12-year-old German Shepherd, that was difficult.
He really kind of inspired people, kind of motivated people, and it was my way of going out to the community and kind of inspiring people during that hard period of time that this whole town went through.
Grendel suffered from nerve damage in his back after he and Williams were both shot in March of 2011, that standoff claiming the life of Officer Burkholz. A man from Burlington, Simon Rubio, taken into custody in connection with an armed robbery at the Village of Rochester Public Library, as well as an attempted robbery the same day at the library in the Village of Waterford. Racine County Sheriff Christopher Schmaling says investigators worked countless hours trying to identify the suspect in the two incidents. The 31-year-old Rubio arrested after a search warrant was executed at his home on Wednesday, plus he's being held on a probation hold from the State Department of Corrections. August the 6th, the man robbed the Rochester Library of a small amount of cash. Same man then suspected of trying to take a woman's purse outside the Waterford Library. Similar incidents in Milwaukee County also reported. The Wisconsin Department of Justice now formally requesting federal appellate court panel reconsider overturning the conviction of former Pleasant Prairie resident Mark Jensen, who was initially convicted of fatally poisoning his wife with antifreeze. 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled earlier this month that a handwritten note from Mark Jensen's wife, Julie, telling police look at her husband as their first choice for a suspect if something happened to her, that should not have been allowed as evidence because it violated Jensen's right to face his accuser. Julie Jensen found dead in their Pleasant Prairie home in 1998. Mark Jensen, convicted of homicide in 2008 and sentenced to life. A three-judge panel appointed to hear a second federal lawsuit against the Wisconsin legislative redistricting map that was put together by majority Republicans in 2011. A group of Democrats filed suit back in July, said the districts have so many voters of one party that it raises constitutional questions of equal protection. In a recent legal brief, a dozen plaintiffs say that they have direct proof. Legislative leaders set out to intentionally discriminate against Democrats in order to outrench Republicans in power, unquote, until the next redistricting after the 2020 census. Well, now that Governor Walker's out of the presidential race, there's a new poll out showing Donald Trump leading the GOP field right here in Wisconsin.
Many Walker supporters moved to backing Trump after the governor bowed out of the race last week. That's according to the latest Marquette University Law School poll.
Donald Trump, who had been at only 9% last time, receives a pretty healthy boost here to take first place at 20%.
Poll director Charles Franklin says Ben Carson was in second at 16%, Marco Rubio at 14%, and Carly Fiorina at 11%. On the Democratic side, Hillary Clinton led with 42% and Bernie Sanders at 30%. In a head-to-head matchup for 2016, Clinton led most of the GOP presidential field by at least 10 points. Andrew Beckett, Wisconsin Radio Network.
And speaking of Bernie Sanders, he's not just closing the gap between himself and Hillary Clinton in the polls, he's also catching up to her in fundraising.
Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign raised more than $28 million this quarter. That's only slightly more than Bernie Sanders, who raised $25 million. Clinton and Sanders raised their money in different ways, though. The bulk of Clinton's donations came from events she personally headlined across the country. Sanders, on the other hand, rarely headlined any fundraisers. Almost all of his money came from the campaign's online fundraising operation. I'm Mark Chase.
He was part of what was called the Pail and Shovel political party on the University of Wisconsin campus in the late 1970s and early 80s, as well as some other schools during that time. But perhaps he was best known for putting a foam Statue of Liberty on Frozen Lake Mendota and 1,000 plastic pink flamingos on Bascom Hill. That was Leon Varjian back in the day. Leon Varjian has died at the age of 64, a high school math teacher in Woodridge, New Jersey. It's believed he suffered a heart attack. Despite the announcement last week that Rob Zirbon was dropping out of the race for mayor in Kenosha, John Antaramian says it's not going to alter his campaign for the job. A little fundraiser at the Boathouse last night, Antaramian telling WRJN News he does not expect, though, to remain the only candidates in the race.
There'll probably be some opponents who will still come into the race, so we just move forward with the plan we had in place, which is to run hard, and that's what I intend to do.
Says the campaign has been going well since he announced his bid for election to the post that he had held for 16 years. Mayor Keith Bosman announcing back in the spring that he would not be seeking re-election, which is going to be in April of next year. Going to the state capitol in Madison? Well, you'll have to avoid the rotunda for the next month or so. Here's Andrew Beckett with more.
The State Department of Administration says the first and second floors of the Capitol Rotunda will be closed from October 5th through November 10th, so repair work on the interior of the Capitol Dome can be done. The area is probably one of the most heavily trafficked routes in the building, with school groups, blood drives, concerts, ceremonies, and news conferences frequently held underneath the dome. Protesters have also staged daily sing-alongs in the area since 2011, although the group is often moved when other events are taking place in the area. Andrew Beckett, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Take note that as of today, Amtrak is charging $20 for passengers to exceed restrictions for carry-on and personal items. You're allowed to bring two personal items on board that weigh up to 25 pounds and two carry-on bags weighing no more than 50 pounds. Fee applies to each item above those limits. Amtrak thus joining the U.S. transportation industry movement, which has generated billions in revenue for the airline industry. Today also the deadline for merchants to be ready for credit cards with microchips. An official at Visa telling USA Today that if a merchant didn't have a chip terminal by this date and a counterfeit credit card is used at the business, they could be held liable for any fraud. Spokesperson also pointing out the October deadline, really more of a kickoff than a cutoff, and customers will still be able to swipe their cards with the magnetic strip. The chip cards considered more secure because they produce a different code for each transaction, making them harder to counterfeit. And it was somebody in Michigan who got all the right numbers for the estimated $310 million Powerball jackpot last night. The lump sum payment after taxes, about $191 million. WRJN.com. It's our webpage. You can listen to our newscasts in podcast form. Just go to the local news section. And at WRJN News is for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Karkle, AM 1400 WRJN News.